and also you future mothers, for there are future mothers that are sitting here. And there are young men here who also will make choices on who they are going to marry, the wife of their choice. And I hope that it will give some direction in that way for certain characteristics that you want to look for in a wife and a future mother. Let's turn in the Word of God to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And I'll read verses 4 through 8. I'm going to primarily concentrate briefly on two verses out of this section of Scripture. But to get the whole context, a little bit more of the whole context, let's cover these verses. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verses 4 through 8. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. My theme this morning is a biblical vision for mothers. A biblical vision for mothers. And this portion of Scripture, especially in this year of our Lord, sets forth a vision that mothers can have. Thank you, Gary. Can you all hear me a little better? Okay. If you didn't hear me, I'm in Deuteronomy 6, okay? A biblical vision for mothers. And there are a couple of verses here that especially are awe-inspiring, especially for mothers. The passage applies to everyone, but especially I want this to be something that I hope is enriching for mothers. Early church fathers and those beyond it looked upon the church as our mother. There's a biblical basis for that, for the New Covenant Church is set forth as our mother. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 26 speaks of the Jerusalem, the free Jerusalem from above, which is our mother. And that includes and embraces, obviously, the church. And so the church has been viewed as our mother. Characteristics. There are characteristics of godly Christian mothers that show forth what the church is all about. Now, certain features, not all features, but such features as a mother protects, a mother nourishes, and especially the Bible sets forth the church as our mother in the sense that she, the body of Christ, nourishes those who are brought in. They're fed by the church. They are given milk of the word and given meat of the word or solid, heavier things of the word. And all of that is going on. And so truly the church is mother church. This is important for many reasons, but just one quick reason. There are those who, unfortunately, the word mother does not conjure up, does not trigger precious thoughts, and sometimes things that have to even be overcome. Well, come to the church. Come to the church. And when we are truly the church, we will be a mother to you. She will be a mother to you. My point is that you Christian moms reflect the glory of the body of Christ. You have characteristics in your walk with the Lord that reflects the very body of Christ. You teach the church and you teach the world what it is to know Christ, what it is to be nurtured by Christ through Mother Church. And so the church is our mother. It's a powerful concept that is not developed by many Protestants, but would be a great, great blessing. But for you moms, remember, you reflect the glory of Christ in that. 1 Corinthians 11, you're the glory of your husband. And related to that, you especially reflect. We all are too, men and women, to reflect the glory of Christ. But you especially set forth characteristics that would bring us to the church. In this portion of Scripture, I want to direct you mothers to the attention that is given to verse 4, where there's something that you and I must do, but especially you mothers in the light of Mother's Day here. And it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Hear, O Israel." In order to have a biblical vision of what it means to be a godly mother and to be an effective mother, what it means is that you and I must hear the word of God. All of us must. But you moms must hear God's word. Hear, O Lord. Hear, O Israel, rather, that the Lord is one. Now, I don't want to concentrate on this verse too much, but just a reminder that what is being revealed here is that the Lord is one. There is a unity in his personhood. There's also a plurality, for there are three persons. That is God, and the Lord is one. So here the stress is on the unity. Also, it is a stress on the uniqueness of Yahweh, the only true and the living God. And so mothers must be committed to the one true and living God. This is expressed in verse 5. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And as mothers love Yahweh, as mothers hear his voice in the Scripture, the overflow of your dominating love towards the Lord, its overflow will flow not only to your husband, but also to your children. In other words, here in verse 5, there is a consecration of loving the Lord. You love the Lord more than anyone else. He is supreme. He is your chief love. And out of that, you will have creative abilities to love your husband as you could not otherwise, and love your children in creative ways. And the overflow of that is that your family will be impressed with your love for the Lord and its impact upon them. They will know that the Lord, Yahweh, is Lord of your life. But I want to take a few moments to concentrate on especially verses 6 and 7. This sets forth the biblical vision for mothers. Verse 6, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart." Remarkable things in verse 7 are said that mothers are to be engaged in. How are mothers to do this? How are we to get strength and gain vision? That is, as mothers, how are you able to do that? And it's related to the Word of God. And these words, the words of God, especially here the law, the instruction, the commandments of God, but it embraces in a wider sense, of course, the gospel message. These words which I command you this day shall be in you, shall be in your heart or upon your heart. And so it's about the Word of God. And so if you would be able to fulfill your destiny as a Christian mother, you must lean upon the Word of God. The Word of God. Hear, O Israel, the new Israel of God, us, the church. You must hear the Word of God. You must listen to God's voice in Scripture. As you hear God's voice in Scripture, it is by hearing that you gain vision. By hearing, you're able to see. And this portion of Scripture directs mothers on what they should see. Hear first, and vision will come. And so verses, especially verses 6 and 7, set forth a special vision that mothers in this year of our Lord can lay hold of. It begins by hearing. It begins by loving the Lord, by obeying His word. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. Now the heart is the very center of our being. It's more than the emotions. Some context it might be more narrow to that, but in a wider sense, the heart is the very core of our being. And so you cannot go any deeper than the human heart. And the human heart has staggering depths to it. Amazing, a single individual, amazing depths for a single person. Somebody said almost as deep as God. Now that's a slight exaggeration, but the point is there, is that the depths of the human heart. So this is the very core of our being. The Word of God is to be taken into a mother's heart. It is to be upon the heart. It is to be in the heart. It is to be written upon the heart. It's all about the Word of God. In the innermost depths of your being, Mom, let the Word of God penetrate. Let it dwell. Let it abide. By hearing and obeying, it will do that. It will have an enormous impact upon you, greater than what we even know. And I'm assuming that you know a lot about the power of God's Word in your own soul. But you cannot limit the power of God's Word. It must go in, and it must abide. It must dwell within. Your mind will be informed by the divine revelation of God. Your emotions will be touched and refashioned by the power of God's Word. Your will be directed into making correct choices for the glory of God and for the benefit of your family. Your imagination will be ignited by the fire of God's Word. And as the Word is upon your imagination, as it goes into your imagination, these words I command you today shall be in your heart. That includes your imagination. And as the Word goes into your imagination, it will give you a creativity as a mother that you cannot have otherwise. You say, well, I know some unsaved mothers that do this or do that. They don't know the Lord, but they follow this. They're borrowing from Scripture, aren't they? Made in the image of God, they're borrowers. But for you who are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, the very Spirit of glory, your imagination will be ignited. It will be inflamed by the Word of God. And that imagination will give you a creativity. Mothers need creativity for their children, for their home. Mothers need creativity for this particular child, and maybe a little bit different for this other child that you have. Where does it come from? It comes from this, the words of God abiding in your imagination, in your heart. And so touching mind, touching your very emotions, touching your decisions or your will, and inflaming, firing your imagination. You say, well, how does that come about? It's the mystery of the power of the Word of God. I can't explain it in depth in a rational way. It's not irrational, but it transcends the rational. But the Word will go into your imagination. And as you let that Word abide, as it's in your heart, as it's upon your heart, the Lord is going to show you things. You hear the Word, respond to the Word in obedience, and you'll have vision. You'll be able to envision what you need to do for your family in particular, and for not only husband, but for this child and this child and this child. And you're able to have a creativity that would not be there otherwise. Be encouraged at the power of God's Word for you as a mother. There are many challenges that would come up against you for you to do otherwise. For there are multitudes of women in Western civilization that are taking a course that is otherwise. But you are different. You have been touched by grace. You have been the recipient of mercy. sovereign grace even, and you have a new heart, you have a new spirit, you have a new mind. You have been touched in the depths of your being by the power of God's Word in the hands of the Holy Spirit. Now that same Word in the hands of the Holy Spirit will go into the depths of your being and enable you, empower you to be able to be what the Lord would have you to be. Proverbs 31:26 says, "She opens her mouth in wisdom." So the virtuous wife, the virtuous mother, she is able to open her mouth in wisdom. Where does that wisdom come from? It comes from this. "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart." Those words in your heart will make a difference. Well, how do we get the word in our hearts? How do moms get the word in their heart? It's by being saturated with the word. It's by listening to God's voice. "Hear, O Israel." "Hear, O Israel," is the call. So we must hear the word of God, for faith does come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. Moms must read the word. Seize upon the opportunities to read the word. I remember not so many years ago hearing about a mom, and a busy mom, and she would print out verses and put them up on her cabinets. So as she's working in the kitchen there, she'll be able to look up verses that she was concentrating upon. She's reading the word. And then you also want to go beyond reading, but you want to go into study, where you will take time to go into depth in God's word. So you will read and study, and out of that you're hearing the very voice of the Lord. And reading and studying and hearing, being saturated the word, you'll want all of that to take you to meditation. Learn the art of meditation. You can read without meditating. You can study, even hardcore study of Scripture, without meditating. Meditation is a special domain, if you will, spiritual domain. But our reading should lead to meditation. Our study should lead to meditation. And we meditate upon the word. Why? Because as we meditate, it will have its ultimate penetration, because the word is in you and you are mulling over the word. You are muttering the word. And so as the psalmist said, Psalm 119:97, "Oh, how I love your law from the depths. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day." Similar to that verse, Psalm 1:2, speaking of the blessed person, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." And so you want to have the word in you, even in the busy, legitimate things that you're doing as a mom. You want to have the word in your heart so that you meditate upon the word. So you're mulling over the word. And you can do more than one thing at a time. You can take care of this little one, still have the word there. But your mind, when you get a little bit of a break, your mind wants to go back to the word of God. And so the word must be in our heart. Pray the word in. Pray over the word that the word will go in. Study it in depth. Listen to those who are wise, who know something about the word, who can teach you something. Also listen to sermons, that is biblical sermons, sermons that are based upon the word of God. So pray, read, study, meditate, listen, take the word in, and so that it will have its impact. Fulfill verse 6. "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart." The word is in your heart. Now here's the impact. Here's the overflow of the word of God when a mother so is related to the word of God. Verse 7. And this sets forth further the vision. Our vision is, it's about the word. If I'm to be the mother, you are to be the mother that you should be, then the word of God must grip you, must grip your heart, and must be in your heart, must be upon your heart, must be internalized to that degree. And then a remarkable verse, verse 7, and mothers are to fulfill thus. "You shall teach them diligently to your children." What? God's words. the Word of God. The Word that is now completed, the canon is completed, the Bible. You shall teach them diligently to your children. So you begin here. I must teach them very, very diligently. Now, this is an interesting word, teach them diligently. It's related to the Hebrew word sharpen or whet, W-H-E-T, whet. And say, well, the Word of God itself does not need to be sharpened. It is what it is. It is the Word of God. Our handling of the Word of God needs to be sharpened. Don't just say any words, but use God's words in the life of your children. Teach them diligently the Word of God. And so the previous verse is important. You must know the Word of God to teach your children diligently the Word of God. Continue to grow, and share what the Lord is showing you. John Gill has pointed out that this Hebrew word, sharpen, whet, or sharpen, has to do with repeating something. So if you're sharpening something, you do it usually in repetition to sharpen it. So it is. We sharpen ourselves. We sharpen our instruction and our use of the Word. And so you want to sharpen the Word of God in the sense of how you teach it, how you instruct it, ongoing process. But you have to plunge in at some point and make that your vision as well. And so you're teaching the family. It should be the subject of conversation. It should be very frequent. Weaved throughout the day should be the Word of God. You shall teach them, verse 7 again, you shall teach them diligently to your children. Shall talk of them when you sit in your house. Now, in days gone by, there actually was a family dinner, towards evening. Some of you are old enough to remember that, where the family would gather around. In these days of hustle and bustle and overactivity in some cases, it's not always the case, but at some point, every day, for at least some amount of time. Some days you're able to do more, and other days you'll do less, but at least it will be implemented, and that is that when you sit in your house, you're teaching your children the ways of God through the Word of God. Shall talk of them when you sit in your house. Seize the moment. Carpe diem, mothers. This is the moment. Seize the day. This is your opportunity. It will not be long. It seems like it may be if you have young children, but it will not be long until they'll be gone from your nest. Seize the day. Talk of them in your house. The power, your power is the power of the Word of God coming through you to them. Talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, when you leave the house, you leave the home. And you're out doing the Lord's will, fulfilling this and fulfilling that, going here and there. Seize the opportunity. Talk with them about the Word of God. Drop something their way. Do more when you're in your car with your children, if possible. Do more than simply correct them if they need it. Also, give them some glorious thing from God's Word. Now, correction includes as a part of that. But you understand what I'm saying. When you're out there, when you leave the house, have something that you can tie in or relate. When you're here or there, not just in your car, but here or there, talk of them. That is, talk of the Scriptures in the way. This is what will influence them. When you lie down, nighttime, when you go to sleep, do you pray over them? Do you bring to them the Word of God? And again, you don't want to take 30 minutes necessarily. Unless you feel led, don't take 30 minutes with the children at nighttime. You probably have learned they might use you in that to stay up, right? So you be a wise mom. You know what to do in that regard. But have something. Have something. This means the Word has to be on your heart. You have to be in the Word. The Word has to be burning so that you can briefly share so that those children whatever their age, will fall asleep, will go to sleep. And from your lips, Mom, from your lips, they will hear the word of God. And you may say, I do that. I'm not even sure they're listening. Do not diminish the power of God's word. And don't children surprise us? You didn't think that they were listening and something comes out of them that amazes everybody, right? You know, you have that experience. Speak the word to them. The word that is in your hearts. Fulfill verse 5. Fulfill verse 6. Showing your love for the Lord and for them. Fulfill it by giving them the word. And when you rise up. And so it's about a day in the life of a mother. And when the morning starts, be ready. Be ready to share the word. And again, different days will require, you'll have certain amounts of time to do this or to do that. But you can always bring something from God's word. You could bring a proverb to them. You can bring something like a proverb and say, this is the proverb for today. And of course, the whole range of scripture, whatever you feel led to do. But that has to be your vision. In other words, weaved throughout your day, no matter how busy it is, even legitimately busy, okay, with things to be done, places to go, and so on. Weaved throughout the day. Here's the biblical vision for you, Mom. Weaved throughout the day, you are to weave the word of God into their lives. Teach them diligently the word. Talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up, be ready. Give them the word of God. Go after your children for the glory of Christ. This is how you will overcome secular humanism and threatening false religions and cults. There is a reason why secular educators are working and have removed the Bible from the classrooms, because they, in a sinful way, know the power of God's word. That is, they know that it will influence and it will overcome their thinking. You have the opportunity as a mother to have a tremendous impact. And so seize the moment. Make sure that you do it. And let me also give this to you, because this is one area where your power lies. In Proverbs 31 and verse 26, it says, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. Your power lies in your tongue and expressing kindness. God has so constructed, especially women, for that purpose. And so the virtuous mother, wife of the ancient proverb, chapter 31, Proverbs 31, is that there's a law of kindness. There's a power that is there. Make sure that when you do all your teaching, there's times when you must speak sharply. You know that I know that, and that that's necessary, and firmly. However, remember that your power lies in your kindness. In many ways, the spirit that is the heart, the inner depths, the heart of a mother, sets the entire mood for the home. If you are constantly defeated, your family will feel that. If you are constantly down, your family will feel that. And so you have to overcome those things. If you are lifted up in the things of the Lord, and it doesn't mean that you wait till there's no problems or challenges, but that you overcome in the midst of those things, and you speak with kindness, makes a huge, huge difference. In a lot of respects, in some mysterious way, a woman's spirit is more powerful than a man's. And so a mother has special opportunity when her spirit is filled with the Holy Spirit and with the Word of God. And so your power lies in your kindness. How many adults, how many young people How many children have we heard express in one form or another how they would crave if only they could hear a kind word from that one that is called mother or mom? Make sure that in all of your fulfilling of Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 and 7, make sure that you have the law of kindness upon your lips. It will be memorable and will never be forgotten. And on her tongue is the law of kindness. And so do it all. It will make a profound impression. It will make a profound impression upon them. One of the things that was said about my mother was how kind she was. Remarkable amount of kindness. Now, she was no pushover. My brother and I could testify to that, you know. She knew when to be firm and so on and so forth. But the law of kindness was on her lips, and that's what she was really known for. At her funeral, for her funeral, on behalf of the family, I wrote a tribute to my mom. And I'm going to read this to you. I hope it'll bless you, mothers. I hope it'll increase your vision, especially anchored to our text this morning, to be a word-saturated mom and a word-saturated mom that weaves, creates, and seizes opportunities and makes opportunities to get the word of God out to the children and go after your children for conversion. Seek to go after your children. And you may be a Monica. Augustine's mother was named Monica. And I don't know whether you've read her story. Her son Augustine was determined to go to hell. And to hell he was going. He was an ungodly young man. But Monica, touched by the grace of God, would not let that boy perish. And she pursued him and dogged him day and night until the day dawned. The day dawned when her efforts through the years bore fruit. And he who was known as Augustine became Saint Augustine. And his shadow covers all of Christendom right down to this year of 2015. You be such a mother. You go after those children with everything you have, with the law of kindness, with the word of God, leaning upon the Holy Spirit until every last one of those children have been harvested for the glory of Christ. Here's what I wrote for my mom's funeral. Mom, there are not enough words to express how much we will miss you. Over the years, people would express in various ways your greatness as a mother. By the grace and goodness of our God, Monty and I were the special focus of that greatness. We will remember the firm and uncompromising spirit combined with a heavenly gentleness that touched both believers and unbelievers. We will miss those eyes that sparkled with compassion for others. We will miss the sound of that ever so kind voice, your precious smile and laughter cheered our hearts and lifted us up. Then there was the sweetness. Yes, the sweetness that seemed to drop like a gentle rain. Drop upon others like a gentle rain. We fully understand why so many loved you so much. We praise our Savior, the Lord Jesus, that the next time we look upon your face, you will be walking, talking, worshiping the Lamb upon his throne. No more wheelchairs, hospital beds, operations, pain, sorrow, or tears. Mom, we glorify the living Christ for all that you were and for all that you did. You filled our lives with memories that two lifetimes could never exhaust. Now we bow to the word of our King. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job 1:21. We love you, Mom. Always have. Always will. For you mothers that are here, there will be a day when family and friends will gather around your casket. And will your children and others rise up to call you blessed? Not because they try to conjure up something that was not true about you, but because of the reality of what was true about you. They'll gather there. Will you hear such a tribute? You can. Will you have a tribute to what you were for the glory of Christ and the impact? And then beyond your funeral, there will be that day when he breaks the eastern sky and descends from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God. And you as a mom will stand before the Lord. And you will hear those words from the King. You'll hear those words that your very person cannot actually comprehend, but you will experience what it will mean for you when the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, when your Savior says to you, "Well done, you good and faithful servant." And you as a mother can hear those words. And so I would urge you to be encouraged from the text. Envision what Deuteronomy 6 says and bend your life to the glory of God, for the glory of Christ, and for the benefit of your family, and for the benefit of those who will be around you. God bless you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon each one of you mothers. And if you're a mom here that does not know Christ, the greatest thing that you could do for your family beyond your own soul would be to repent of your sins and trust Christ this day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how we thank you for the mothers of this church. Lord, bless them in their holy desires. Thank you, Lord, for the passion and love for their family, for their children, especially as they seek to teach them. Grant them all that they need, and may they know that there is a sufficiency in the Word of God. And so, Lord, I pray that this will be a great day of celebration for them. I pray that they will be honored for their being what they are, in the name of Christ. So I lift them all up into you and into your hands, and I pray, O God, that especially they will be blessed this day. In Jesus' name, amen.